Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show.
Hey guys, welcome back to the newsroom. We are on episode 7, season 2, News Night with Will McAvoy. So quite an episode going on tonight, as per usual. Mm-hmm. I'm your host, Kristen Carroll, and across from me is the lovely...
Hello, I'm Sarah Mendoza.
Oh, am I the loveliest one? I'm
John. Also the loveliest of AfterBuzz.
There you go.
Gorgeous.
Yes, absolutely.
John.
And in the booth.
And in the booth, yes.
Hey guys.
Hi.
Newsroom, yay.
So this episode, what I kind of liked about it, it was all set in just the newscast, which hardly has happened
really
recently.
Yeah.
So I felt like there was so much going on, and it was great that it was probably only in about maybe a two-hour time span that was going on with that. First of all, I want to start off with our Sorkinism of the night. Do you guys
I totally forgot to write one down.
Sarah had a fun one. I liked it when
Baba Booey Mother Effers, and they and they said that when they basically confronted the callers
who
said they were from Syria, when actually they're just in New York. You know, trying to get on the air. And as soon as they confronted them, the guy on the phone goes, "Booyah, mother effers."
And who was the guy that said that? I don't know his name. But
I don't know.
No, but he was working with Tess tonight.
Yeah.
They were partners.
Which was good.
Maybe another AP. So. Yeah, another AP in the newsroom.
But it was great to have that come out of...
Baba Booey.
I wish Tess said it. That would have been funny.
I personally also liked, and I know, Sarah, you had an opinion about this, but I did like when Mackenzie goes up to Neil. She's like, I don't care. You know, I don't like you right now. I don't care if that's irrational.
I want you to fail
tonight.
I mean,
was just funny because it was very Mackenzie for her to say that.
That is a great line. I don't like it when people get mad at Neil, though. But yes, great
line. His intentions are always really good.
And
so
also,
I guess
we can talk about it now, but like also he was just listening to Will. Like, what's he going to say? Like, no, Will, I'm not going to come over and talk to you right now. Like, Will is beckoning him every news break.
Horrible position for him to be in.
You're right. Because like, do you upset... Will McAvoy?
Yeah, you're screwed no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Well, and poor Will had so much, and we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Well, we want to start with first, Sloan.
Sexy Sloan.
Scandalous pictures.
Okay. Salacious. I mean, I know why, I guess you'd make... Well, why would you ever give anybody a picture?
See, I'm an expert at this because I work at E! News and we cover celebrity naked photos.
I thought you were going to say I'm an expert at this because it happened to me before.
I mean, I get why you do it for them, but why would you give it to them? And you know, I mean, you know it's going to get out there.
Again, alcohol makes people do crazy things.
I don't know that there was any alcohol involved in this, but they didn't suggest that.
No, she said that.
Did she?
Yeah, that's why she posted. Totally. She'd been going out with him since Christmas, so it had been about 6 or 7 weeks,
drunk.
And they got... He had gotten them a hotel room at the,
Mandarin
Oriental.
I was writing something down, I'm sure.
Had a few too many drinks, and she bought him this camera because she likes him.
Well, the camera, I got all that part. I just didn't know they were drinking. But even still, it's like, how I don't...
Well, honestly, people make mistakes. And maybe, yeah, she's totally over him now. But, I mean, Scott, douchebag as he is, he's kind of a hottie. So maybe she maybe she was, like, head over heels, blinded. Maybe she thought they were going to go somewhere and he would never do this to her.
Seriously,
he was very attractive.
But you're on a national show, a national TV show. I can't believe anybody would do it these days.
I think we also know that Sloane's not very good at relationships, mm-hmm. so I don't think her mind's clear when
it comes to
that.
But she's not an idiot.
Anyways. No, but
she's smart.
But she's slightly awkward when it comes to that stuff.
I just have a hard time buying anybody in her position would do it.
It just could have really been the alcohol. And she never got around to going back into the camera and deleting them.
Blame it on the alcohol. It's in Jamie Foxx up in here. It'd be way better than me singing it. But no, and it's
I mean, don't you always delete your pictures, don't you?
Oh, yeah, all my naked photos I delete.
Am I right? Come on, seriously.
I bet, John, you keep yours.
I keep yours.
You know, maybe she was thinking like a Kardashian, and she is acting like it wasn't on purpose, but she wanted to get ratings.
Well,
that's different. Video is different because for that to be released, they have to sign off.
I know.
But did any of you for a second think that she maybe did it on purpose just to trend?
No.
She's trending number one? No, never? Really?
I don't think that's in Sloane.
Is that what you thought?
Just for a second, I'm going, gosh, I wonder if they're going to go there with Sloane where she's going to, you know, she did it, but, you know, just because she wanted to.
Well, because, I don't think that's it at all. I don't think that's a way that she functions.
It didn't at all come into your mind, the thinking that he might be doing that, that Sorkin might push that?
I don't know. It would seem so out of character for Sloane.
Yeah.
She seems she's naturally very sexy, but she seems to be very, like, reserved in herself and awkward with
and kind of naive with relationships.
Now that
obviously.
Part I get, but I had just as hard of a time believing that because she's so bright to not realize that if these pictures are ever going to get out, I don't care how much you trust the guy. You're on a national show. You think that this guy, who's he? He's nothing. I mean, he may be good looking and everything, but he's not known. So, yeah, I can see that eventually. I just don't see how she couldn't see around the corner and realize this is probably not a good idea.
I do have to say, not that to belittle her experience, but it happens so often now that I feel like in another couple of months, nobody's going to care.
That's exactly my point. It happens so often. How can you not know that that's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, no matter what, too, because some of the other stuff like a Scarlett Johansson.
Exactly.
Or even Kate Middleton. I mean, there's no, if it wasn't this guy with the camera, it'll be some perv who takes one that doesn't even know her. Well, I think the difference is, too, is like, you know, with those pictures in particular, they didn't know that they were going to get out. It was somebody either taking it from about a mile away in Kate Middleton's case, and Scarlett Johansson was a private picture to her husband at the time, and unlike something like Prince Harry, where there's so many people there with their camera phones, and you're famous, and if you're walking around your hotel room naked, I mean, that's going to make.
Well, I wanted to know the nature of the breakup,
between Sloane and Scott?
Yeah, why did they break up? Why did it get so bad that he would do this to her? Or maybe he was planning this all along.
I don't think, according to Sloane, it wasn't really that bad of a breakup, so he's probably just a jerk. I mean, what else can he, you know?
That's
maybe
he dated her for that.
Yeah.
Just so he could cause some scandal.
And why they broke up? Probably because she's so awkward.
Or he got what he wanted out of her and moved on.
Maybe.
No, I felt very bad for her and the situation.
I felt bad until she got her come up.
Well, that was great. But Sloane took care of it.
That was great. That was awesome. I thought that was great. I mean, I feel bad for Scott, but too bad.
That was awesome.
It was coming to you.
And I loved that Charlie was standing up for her. And then if you guys saw at the very end there when they walked by each other in the newsroom.
Yeah, handshake.
They had kind of, like a small handshake and grab, which was cute. Because we've seen them they obviously like each other. But we've seen them had a few riffs where, in particular where he said something a couple of weeks ago where he's like, I'm a nerd and I hate you because you're a nerd and you make us look bad. And she goes, no, I make nerds look good.
I always like their relationship because
they got a great one.
It's like father-daughter almost. Mm-hmm. Like they're going to give you the, he's going to give her the tough love, but also be there for her in instances like this.
He's got
this.
Her back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think she handled everything as well as could be in this situation?
Well, having never been in that position, I'm going to defer to you guys, gals.
I understand why she was so mortified by it and why she was underneath the desk in the office crying, because especially when you have, you know, that big of an audience and people are, you're pretty much figuratively and actually naked in front of the world.
Yeah, and you're exposed.
Your credibility is shot. She can't even do an interview. I mean, she, you know, that part. And then she has to tell her parents.
And for someone like her, who it feels like she's fighting against, not getting anywhere just because of her legs. Mm-hmm. You know, like she wants to be successful based on her intelligence and merit in her subject matter, not like the fact that she's this sexy financial analyst. Exactly. And so this is like totally working against her for that. What I think is that mission of hers.
Well, it's kind of like Erin Andrews. They had those pictures of her. I think it was somebody took them of her in the shower. I could be getting this wrong, Oh, I thought you're gonna help me out here.
No, I'm just going. But great, then, we're gonna start a rumor. I'm not sure if this is right, but here, go ahead.
No, I know she had scandalous pictures that were out there, but it kind of excelled her career in the sports world. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to ask, you know, with certain things, do you take that and you run with it if you're smaller, or do you kind of?
Well, I mean, something like that gets attention no matter what. Mm-hmm. No matter what, she's going to get attention for this, and it will probably help ratings for hers and Elliot's show.
She was trending number one, is
that's right. That's what I'm saying.
I think the sticking point for her, what's really bothering her, is how people like her parents are going to perceive.
Not like that, but it's going to be difficult to maintain any kind of credibility if she's going to go on to try to do other things.
Those are always going to be there.
Yeah, they're always going
to
be there.
Or it'll just be that much harder for her to continue to prove herself.
And I have to say, this whole season, I even said it, I think it was last week, that I hate that I like Dawn now. Like, I don't want them together just because of Dawn last season. I can't get that out of my head.
Yeah.
But they were really great. Again, I thought it was... Mm-hmm.
Maybe Dawn was just horrible last season because he was just with Maggie. Maybe that was it.
She made him crazy, which a lot of viewers don't like Maggie. Yeah. So I could...
Well, Dawn was just kind of a coward last season because he couldn't confront his... He didn't maybe even know his actual feelings for Maggie, you know? And now he's still kind of being a coward because he's not... I mean, he hasn't asked her out, but you can tell that he wants to. So again, it'll happen.
Yeah, but you gotta think. It didn't work out so well when I dated somebody who I was working with the first time. Maybe it's a good idea not to date somebody I'm working with the second time.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah. I don't know if that's
a cowardly choice.
Plus, like, how awkward would it be? Like, Maggie's still working in the same newsroom as the both of them. And, yeah, that would be so
that could just
fun.
Raise a lot of questions, too. Like, well, did you always like Sloan?
Yeah, but who cares at this point? She always liked Jim, so
she
can't really talk about that.
No, she can't at all. But I liked them sitting there, her awkward joke. And and then he accompanied her, so Sloan, as we were saying,
that was a good
goes
reveal.
To confront him.
It was a very good reveal. I did not expect Dawn to be there, which was why when you said he was coward, I went, wait a minute, he went there to back her up.
That's true. But he's going there as a supportive coworker, and he's just like, make the move already. You know,
I'm curious. Do you think he looked up the pictures? Because I think he probably did.
They're probably in a shrine in his his bedroom.
It's his backdrop on his computer.
Ladies, wouldn't you? I mean, if it was a guy that you were interested in, would you look at him?
Would it?
Oh, like you mean if it was like Alexander Skarsgård?
Sure. Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't need to. True Blood does it for me.
Yeah, see. You'd look.
Sarah, you're not answering.
I'm not that kind of girl.
You already answered.
I'm not that kind of girl.
But I love that reveal.
You have a friend look and then tell you about it, right?
I wouldn't even go to like those Thunder Down Under shows. I'm just not into it.
Oh, you should. It's weird to me.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, moving on.
Kristen.
And weren't we just talking about how there's no sex in Newsroom?
But we were talking about that way because there were so many trailers before we started watching that all of a sudden there's sex. But there is They touch upon it. They talk about it. But you never. I mean, you're on HBO. You could take advantage of that. Yeah, and I'm actually kind of glad he doesn't, because it doesn't need it.
Well, it's just not that kind of show.
Yeah,
it's not.
Which is a nice relief.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we were all curious, like, are they going to show the photos of Sloane? Because we knew it was going to happen, but no, they didn't. They actually chose to leave it out.
And
or
I was
just, like, you know, not even, like, a little bit more risque. It was just really her neck that they showed.
But it was interesting, too, how they had everybody look at the photos and see if they were real or not.
We had the research done. It's your same skin tone.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Now, Reese, now he probably has those, and he probably looks at those every day.
Reese has, like, so many photos.
Yeah, he's like, I know where all your freckles are. And
Plays he probably
knew
the
dots.
He knew them before the photos, though. If he's sneaking, you know, trying to get phone calls and stuff, who knows what else he has.
And also, like, why did Reese and Network step in? Like, what is going to happen Sloane?
Well, they're afraid it's going to ruin their credibility.
Yeah. Then they have to figure out how to handle it.
That's right.
So they definitely
all
need
viewers,
to be
damage the advertisers, control, they're going to go, hey, what is this? You know, I'm not going to advertise
people
on this hoochie-coochie show.
Mm-hmm. When stuff like that happens, you reach out to the publicists, you reach out to any networks if they have comments
all
for
kind
it.
Of damage,
I mean, all
control,
the news desks
spin,
do that, yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. To make it sound better. And I like that.
And they have to at least have the appearance that they're addressing the issue. Otherwise, they're tacitly approving of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Damage control.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely want to hear from you guys. How do you guys like Sloane and Don together? What do you think about how the pictures were handled? We love hearing from
digitize
you.
Digitize your own and send them in, and then we'll know what you think the pictures were.
I'm just going to let John handle that.
HR up in here.
Send them all to Sarah.
Send them all to Sarah.
My phone number is.
Yeah.
No, we want to hear what you guys say. We love your comments on YouTube or iTunes, and actually wanted to do... I'm going to try to do a shout out to whoever comments each week. We had Loose Fan. I think, because we had a lot of comments about Maggie, because we asked them specifically about that, about her carrying the kid or not. And she thought, Loose Fan thought, I think Maggie putting the boy on her back was just an experience.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think that's definitely.
Kelly thought for sure she should have carried her in her arm, carried the child in her arms.
Yeah. And then Just Ann W. saw. I saw Maggie carrying Daniel on her back as an experience with children.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. And she said, as a teenager, I babysat and kids and gave kids piggyback rides because it was fun and easier to carry our larger child. And he wasn't a big kid, but you know, so it would make sense that if that was an easier way to put it that way. And I want to make sure I say his name right this time, because he told me it's Papa Exo.
Papa Exo. Okay.
He said happy birthday to John.
Oh, thank you, Papa Exo. Nice.
And really liked Allison Pill. He thinks that she should win a supporting actress award with that mini breakdown in front of the lawyers.
Wow.
She's a great actress.
It was a great
performance.
Mm-hmm. And then we can...
let's get into it.
Let's get into her.
Yeah.
We'll switch it around. That's topic three, but that's a good transition.
Her, how she's handling her PTSD, so to speak.
I still think her performance, it's so understated that you knew something was up with her, and then all of a sudden you figure out she likes to go out at night. Handling this very well.
You mean this episode it was understated? Because in previous, she was... Totally off the rocker.
Season one, it was like over the top. I think those panic attacks were definitely taking hold of her. But season two here, she's a little more, it's a little more subtle.
Well, hopefully, I mean, that's what it looks like, that Sorkin is taking her and trying to show maturity and her growth and all that other stuff, which she has done with many characters over his many years. And I think that's what we're seeing here. And obviously, this experience that she's had with the child dying in her arms, et cetera, I think obviously it's going to have a huge effect on her. So we've got to see how that plays out. But I love it when you know, you can see somebody going at somebody and you know something else is crackling underneath, and then when they hit it and they realize, that character realizes, oh shoot, I've been found out. Now how am I going to deal with that? I just love those moments, because it's I think they're really dramatic and fascinating.
Yeah. It kind of threw me off, though, because in the last few episodes, she's, you know, talking to the lawyers with her hair chopped off and, you know, now she's back to the beautiful blonde hair. And she's a bit more vocal, a bit more Maggie that we knew in this episode.
But
the lawyer ones are later.
Yeah. The lawyer ones are still about 6 months.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Yeah. Brain fart for a second.
It was a year ago when she went to Africa.
Right.
And now it's about 6 months after that. So this hair thing is still going
to
get to her.
It's yet to happen. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
So right now she's in the drinking
and finding
company. So it's the
build up to the hair.
Exactly.
Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was interesting because she did make a point that some people do is how if you bring that to work or not.
Right.
And up until tonight, her work didn't suffer.
I don't think that's true. It's just that nobody said that. And she may have hit it a lot better. And, you know, let's face it, I'm guessing that her work suffered in some degree, but she probably did a great job of trying to withhold it and not show it. That doesn't mean just because her work didn't suffer doesn't mean that people are going to say everything right away because they're probably cutting her some slack because of what happened. So I'm just because they
But
said
then
anything.
For something like this where she leaves out a part of the bite that is
the question.
That changes the sound the SOT completely, then maybe then of course it's going to be recognized because hello.
Yeah, you can't escape this one. This happened on air. Now we have to do a correction, et cetera, et cetera. So okay, thanks. Guess what? It's having an effect. Now it's obvious.
And it was part of something that even recently, I'll be interested to see if they come back to it with the Trayvon Martin trial. And it was the George Zimmerman tapes, and it was the operator or police officer.
I thought it was great that they put the whole Sorkin wrapped the whole thing around the justice issue, which is the thing that she's going to be fighting, the whole what's right, what's wrong, and the injustice of a child being murdered, et cetera. So that's what she's struggling with.
Yeah.
And just doesn't want to be alone at night. I thought, my God, just the idea that she goes out every night just to pick somebody up just so she can't, you know, doesn't want to be alone because I can't rely on her roommate because obviously that's
still
a non-starter.
Yeah. That's a hostile environment when
horrible.
You have to live with somebody.
Yeah, especially
like
somebody who's gone through an experience like that and you've got no safe haven. Mm-mm. Work is a hostile environment to some degree because you have to be so right on everything and you're going to be found out. And then you go home and you can't even rest there.
Yeah. Well, and work for her.
She needs to get out of there.
She's gone there.
That's what I mean. It's a hostile environment to some degree. Obviously not the same as it was in Africa. Not that kind of hostility, but it's...
I just don't know why she doesn't move out or find another place, like sublet your room.
New York is very difficult to find an apartment that's inexpensive and in a halfway nice neighborhood.
Yeah,
so maybe that's why.
I know, but it's still 6 months. I mean, just find a couch, flop somewhere, do something.
Make something work.
Yeah.
Right.
But...
You don't want to be around.
But then again,
that.
We know she's not thinking rationally anyway because of that experience. So the rational thing would be, okay, I got to find another place. I don't care what it takes. I'll do it.
And that's the reason she doesn't want to be home because that's why she's partying
but
and
she's
drinking and hooking up
not
with
thinking
guys.
Rationally, so that's how bad it is. She can't even think rationally just to get find another place.
Well, sometimes if you keep doing bad behavior like that, that's all you know how to do, and hopefully she can kind of. Get out of that.
No, we saw the hair. That's a bad choice.
Yeah. She's obviously not over it after
We're working up to that. So it's going to get worse before it gets better.
There's about to be a breakdown happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm waiting what story or what moment brings her back to that.
Maybe
she meets Hallie.
Obviously, she's still having problems, but the fact that all
it's
of a sudden
Genoa
she
thing.
Wants to cut her hair.
It's the Genoa thing with the general saying that he made the statement and she's saying, I was there, it happened, and he said that. And I'm sure that's the thing that took her over the edge. That's my guess, anyway.
I just thought, because remember from last episode where the kid is talking about the blonde hair?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I thought it was like right after that.
Yeah, I know. It was a little confusing.
I think they made it look that way so that it matched the story so you don't have to think back later.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she cutting her hair? Mm-hmm. So we should show it now.
Mm.
Because, the lawyer stuff is later. So something else has to trigger it once again.
I'm sure that's why.
Yeah,
it
is
why. It's clear to me that that's why she did that.
I just thought it was, like, right when
but
she
it wasn't
got
right
back.
After, no.
It would almost make more sense if it was right when she got back, to be perfectly honest. But if she's trying to hide it so much.
That's what I'm saying. It would, but no, she's trying to show everybody how tough she was. Remember, that's why she went to Africa, is to be, I want to be the go-to person on something. She wants to come back and think, hey, look, I took care of it. I handled it. I'm okay.
Sure.
She doesn't want anybody to see that there's the weakness that she may have.
Well,
the vulnerability, put it better.
And then Jim is being really nice to her and is apparently going out with Haley. I was a little...
Is it Haley or Haley?
Haley.
Excuse me.
I don't think she's... You know,
I mean, it seems like they're still talking at least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because he's like, I'll be sure to let her know.
Yeah.
You know, or...
But I think he was just... I think a lot of what he was doing was saying that or suggesting that just so there wasn't... the possibility or the idea that he and Maggie might go out.
There's just it just sucks because it's obvious there's no closure with their situation. They never talked about it really directly, it seems like, because she's obsessively looking at this Hallie Girls page. And I wonder how, you know, if she knows.
She totally Facebook stalked her.
Like, does she know to what extent
we don't know
Jim
that,
and, yeah, we don't know yet.
We don't know if she knows that they slept together. We just know that she knows that he gave up her interview. He gave up his interview for her.
Yes.
It's not even proven that they slept together. All we know is she said, I'm the rebound, and they started making out.
Oh, that's what you believe. Kendra, come on. Of course they did.
Well, it's not as obvious as her getting out of Jim's shower.
That's true. Like, that's true.
Don't look like we did anything
you
wrong.
You don't call yourself a rebound if you don't. You know, consummate that.
Mm. Yes, rebounding comes with consummating.
I mean, that's what a rebound is.
Well, then I've never had a rebound. No.
It's good, Sarah. I thought that was kind of interesting, and how Maggie wanted to write an article called What's Wrong with Sluts.
But she's obsessing over Hallie. She's like looking at every single piece that she's publishing and who's picking her up. Not only is it like her stuff that's on her blog, like she's noticed that it's been picked up by HuffPo.
Yeah. And she's trying to prove to Jim that Hallie's not worth it. She's not everything you think she is.
Yeah. Well, because she only does pieces on Sandra Fluke.
Yeah.
Which we found out, attorney. She was a speaker at the DNC, women's rights activist. Yeah.
You know what this is a new topic.
Uh-oh.
Oh, semi-related. You know what I find so cool is the fact that Sorkin did do his, like, immersive research on how a newsroom operates. Because today, funniest thing is, like, when they're waiting for the file
upload.
To download, okay, and it's taking forever. And I just remember, I worked in local news for like 3 years, and I remember like if there was a breaking something and we got something that we wanted to use, that was like torture. And like it's no wonder why Jim would be standing there like waiting for it as the producer, because he wants to get that in the show. It's a big deal.
Oh, and news for even, you know, because I'm in news right now. Again, not hard news, but I'm in news right now. We have the same thing last week. Our Snapstream system was down.
It's compromised. Oh. So,
did you have
to use tapes?
We had to call duplications to do tape. And for those who don't know, Snapstream is a system where they record pretty much every single television show, and you can go back and
just take from
clip,
there.
Yeah, certain segments that you want from whatever show you want. You know, you need. And I had
much like we do here, and we record everything.
I had about 3 or 4 different clips that I needed, and the system wasn't working. And then once it finally worked, the download process was incredibly slow, and producers were like, where is my stuff? And I'm going to the AEs.
Yeah.
What's going on with this? They don't, you know, they can't do anything.
So that was accurate.
So it was very accurate, how slow that goes.
Yeah, even like Maggie cutting it last minute in the bay or telling the editor to cut it, and then he needs to upload it into the ENPS whatever news system so that it finally gets onto the rundown that goes to air. Like, that craziness is all like really how it is.
And it takes twice as long because you have to download it and then usually have to transcode it, excuse me, for it to go in. And
the dreaded rendering bar.
Yeah, so if it's a 5-minute segment, it's going to take 10 minutes till they can get it in their system.
Yeah.
With most places, anyways.
And Lord knows I did the Don Duck ducking walk.
When you realize you're on
camera. You realize that you're in the background like, whoop. Oh, nothing going on here.
Well, we had to watch. We watched that several times to make sure we had the correct name about what Don
like
was
Don's
talking
duck.
About.
Yeah. The Don Duck. That's
you
great.
Like my alliteration?
Yeah, it's very nice. Absolutely. Nice.
Thanks for that.
Is it darling? So I want to talk about Charlie and Shep and Genoa. So we're back to Genoa, and we have his friend who... If I'm, I had it in my notes exactly.
ONI.
Santana?
Yeah, press liaison for ONI.
And, Office of Naval Intelligence.
Yeah, and he comes in, and he usually, Charlie doesn't like to see him in person. He thinks he's kind of a secret agent.
He's a ghost. He is a ghost. That's what he is. He's a spy.
But he always has, like, weird stories. They talk about the computers in Utah.
Yeah, exactly. And all that's true, though. Those big, huge warehouses and all that other stuff and 1.7 million gallons of coolant stuff. That's crazy.
But then he kind of talks about Genoa. I hear you've got a guy in D.C., Jerry Dantanis, chasing a story. And all of a sudden, the mood shifts.
What?
And Charlie's all ears to whatever he has to say.
It was great. I like Charlie playing coy, though, because what are you talking about? Never giving it up until he actually gets it up. Wow.
And he's trying to get Charlie to admit to it, so I think it was great how he went around that. And Charlie kept saying, I can't tell you what the story is. Can't tell you what the story is. And then Shep goes, and he actually doesn't say it either.
No, I mean, they were both really good. It's a nice little chess match going on there. So he says everything he needs to say without really saying anything, because he didn't say anything more than Charlie already knew.
And it was great how he went around it because and made it a more personal aspect, Charlie. Mm-hmm. He asked, you know,
and that is a question, Nancy, though. That's what, I loved how he did that, because that's a question for all of us.
Yeah, it was, if your son was captured, wouldn't you use...
Or your mother, your father, sister, whatever. Would you want the government...
To use any means necessary.
Any means necessary. Right. Would you want that?
Do the ends justify the means?
Even I was questioning in that moment, like, what would I do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you answer? Because for me, my brother's going to hate this, but no. No, I don't want them to use any means necessary.
Well, it's good they know that, John.
Well, seriously, would you want them to use a nuclear bomb?
And
you
want
to kill 500,000 people to save one? I go, well, no, that's crazy.
It's a question.
It's a tough question.
But and his argument was great. Again, Sorkin at his best, because Shep's argument is, look, there are crazies out there, and we can't use the Geneva Convention when one group is fighting a world in the 8th century, and I'm fighting a war in the 8th century, and then it's crazy to think that those Geneva Conventions would hold for all occasions and all situations.
Right.
But the whole reason why you have those kinds of things is so you don't go off and just decide for yourself what to do. I mean, that's the reason why you have those ahead of time. When you're not at war, you have these rules. Because it's too easy.
We don't want anybody to resort
to
those kind of things.
No, I think it's an interesting idea, because it would be hard if it was a loved one. Yep. You want to do anything for them.
But, that's why, that's good. What was in fact, if I can go back to West Wing for a second, there was a member, I don't know if you remember Charlie, who played the bagman for the president, played by Dulé Hill. They asked him, his father was killed in the line of duty, and they asked him, if we were to find the person who killed your father, would you want us to murder him, meaning put him to death for capital punishment? And he says, nope, I'd want to do it myself. So you just go, and that's why they have those rules. You don't want the person who's
to go out there and do it.
Because obviously they're going to make that choice. They have rage, just like Sloan did. There's the emotions in there. They're going to want retribution, but that's why we have those.
Isn't that funny that we cheer on Sloan for punching the guy in the nose, but we're not okay
and kicking him in the balls
with saving somebody's life?
Well, it's a totally different thing.
But I know. Yeah. But I just think that's kind of interesting.
One's a kick in the balls and a shot to the face, and he did something that I think that was warranted. But the idea that you use sarin gas on innocent people is a whole different matter.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's great that there's the continuum on one thing. Yeah, of course I'm cheering that on, because that guy deserved it.
Yeah.
But
and plus, like,
I was just playing slight devil's advocate.
No, but I think it's a great question. I'm glad you brought it up. I think I love that he put that in the whole show. In this instance, is it right? In this instance, is it not?
Mm-hmm. And the whole show was definitely a question of justice and injustice and then also rage. And how different people deal with it. You know, Maggie keeps hers inside. And
it eats at her.
Sloan punches guys in the nose and kicks them in the balls.
There you go.
It's just a whole...
Yeah. And then in Will's case, sadness. Mm-hmm. How you deal with devastation, tragedy.
And I liked... So the whole episode was called Newsnight with Will McAvoy.
Yeah.
And it was definitely centered around him.
It was one news night with Will McAvoy and all the other stuff that's happening Newsnight's going on.
And I thought, again, this is why Jeff Daniels is nominated for an Emmy.
Mm-hmm.
But just the look in his eye, that, something was going on.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very powerful. And I liked seeing him, and I liked Mackenzie with him with that, trying to keep him on track. And usually he has stuff together, even on air in the worst of times, when he's high, when a lot of stuff is going on. And this rattled him.
Oh, yeah.
What did you guys Think about that.
I just, it was great because a lot of it was under, and you had to, if you hung with Will and just stayed with him emotionally, you could really see what he was going through, which was great. Mm-hmm. But I loved Mac really trying to, you know, always trying to pull from, make him, you know, look, just give him a call, and just trying to pull for him to try to solve, not solve, but put a salve on the pains he's had with his father and stuff like that. Yeah. And now you can't do that at all.
Yeah. Because his father, if I remember correctly, it was an alcoholic and used to have, he used to do bad stuff to the kids and his mom. Yeah. I think he used to beat
him and
the mom and the sister.
Until Will was old enough to hit him back.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then he said, when somebody tells you that you're bad so often that you start to believe it. And then it was not, I think that's what he said. Isn't that what Will said?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he's talking about his father now.
And, you know, regardless of all, you know,
it's still your dad.
Yeah.
So it's hard to.
If he beat you while you were younger, like, that's still your dad. And who knows, you know, what their relationship had become after that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they made amends. Hopefully they did. Maybe they didn't.
Well, and it's funny. I mean, you see a lot of people in real life who have parental issues. And it's interesting when somebody does something so bad that there's still an attachment to them.
Yeah.
You know, if it was somebody else that had done that, I mean, you could cut them off, but because it's your dad or your mom and other cases, you know,
it's almost like, how could you not have, like, still an attachment? Because even then in that case, it's even more so going to affect you because your mother, your father, the person who gave life to you, the person you're supposed to trust has done something bad to you.
And it probably makes you nervous that it's in the genes somewhere, too. I mean,
absolutely. Because the person who's supposed to be your defender becomes your destroyer. And, I mean, that just really whacks you out.
Yeah.
But I just, I agree with you about Mackenzie. It was just, you know, they have a bigger relationship than the newsroom. Mm-hmm. And Mackenzie still takes time to be there for him, not only as the EP, but also as the friend, you know, ex-girlfriend that's known him for all these years, that's been there and probably met the dad and knows what's going on with them. And
she knows how much this could mean to him to actually try to ease that relationship. It could really open things up for Will as a human.
Yeah.
The only really loving relationship, which is kind of broken anyways, is his with Mackenzie. There's still love there, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I think, how Mackenzie was keeping an eye on him. And with Neil, with the tweets from Pepper Burke.
I mean, just a ton of names.
Will just did not have a good night.
No.
First, he's up with his dad. Then we know his relationship with the audience and the fact that...
Did anybody have a good night tonight? I think Sloan at the end, but then
I don't. You know, I think she would take it all back if I didn't have to go through. You know what I mean? I'd forego that great ending to just get rid of all of it.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but I can't believe he got so upset over some tweet, some woman. But again, that's who he is. That's his character. It just drives me crazy. Who cares?
Well, we all know
he's tweet.
He's obsessed with it now. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we all get that with certain stuff. I remember when I started here, you know, you get a couple bad reviews and you sit there and you think about it. Well, maybe I should not giggle as much or, you know, something around those lines. And after a while, you know, potentially look up that person. And you're like, oh, well, all they comment on is, you know, certain other things. And
I never
not
went
a
that
positive.
Far with it.
I did that with one of them for Walking Dead, I looked up what that person did.
But, I mean, but you're running the show like that. I mean, you have far more important things to do than worry about what somebody said because they felt snubbed at a coffee shop. I mean, but I love that that's his Achilles heel, but it drives me crazy because I'm like, who cares?
You're the top 1% in the country.
Let it go.
Just, like, throw your money at her.
just cares so much. He cares about the image of the network more so now, too.
The thing that she said is now you've lost a viewer, and that's the thing that got him more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Lost a viewer.
Yeah, and so. Mackenzie goes, she knows what she's doing.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think at the beginning he was using the Twitter as a distraction from calling his dad.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Kind
that's
of
good insight.
Procrastinating to do it. But then once he lost his dad and then the third thing was you lost a viewer, then it hit him. And
I liked his line there when he lost his dad and they come back from the break and he just sits there and he finally says, looks like it's just us now. Yeah. Meaning I have no one else in my life but the viewers.
No.
And he lost one of them.
And I went, what are you kidding? Yeah. You have a sister? You have Mackenzie? Or what are you, crazy? Yeah.
But if his sister's with his dad, and he said his dad was 1,500 miles away, they're obviously not seeing each other.
Well,
I know.
But that's my point, is that you could have these relationships. You could have this a much more meaningful existence. Mm-hmm. But again, he can't, because it's much easier to adore people that he doesn't have to really deal with than like Mackenzie, who betrayed him. So
yeah, and Mackenzie had her own side story going as well, which I actually thought was an incredibly interesting story, because it is something.
Please.
Well, again, I cover more entertainment news outside of here, and there's a lot of stuff about, you know, people coming out and how that's celebrated, and it's great. I think it is celebrated. It should be celebrated that you're comfortable with, you know, with who you are. We all should be, and we shouldn't hide it.
Mm-hmm. You should hide the part about taking the naked pictures, though, right? I mean, we shouldn't be that comfortable that we just take naked pictures. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, if you're comfortable, then go ahead.
But I thought it was interesting how she didn't want to do that, because she knew his intentions were more to try to be a celebrity because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And at first he's hurt, obviously, by it, because he's probably thinking she's homophobic and doesn't want me to be on the show because it's not that kind of show.
Mm-hmm.
And Mackenzie, true to form, that's just not what they do at Newsnight.
No.
They don't break stories like that. That is something Amory Povin would do.
That's not even a story.
And more importantly,
it has nothing to do with the story.
Absolutely.
It's a soap opera.
But I think the reason, more than anything, was that she said, look, you're going to get killed out there. And I did you a favor. I think she realized, you would have got. They would have eaten you up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure anybody who goes on thinking, oh, I'm going to be, they have no idea what they're in for. And when the onslaught of stuff that could be coming your way, you're just not prepared for.
Well, especially if people, you know, if he's on Twitter and people can tweet him from the comfort of their computer or cell phone anonymously.
Yeah.
Exactly. They can say he'll have a lot of supporters, but then he'll have a lot of people.
And then say,
who'll be like, I don't care. And other people that'd be like, I think that's great. Mm-hmm. And Will's show isn't really the place to do something like that. And I thought it was interesting that Mackenzie took a stand against it.
I think it's got down to.
Yeah. And it got down to the point with him that he was doing it because he didn't want to tell his parents in person, which I totally understand.
Yeah. And it also, you know, in a weird way for me, that also paralleled Will's story. Not that Will's gay or anything like that, but just that he can't communicate with his parents either. And here you go. It's a cyclical thing. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
And we're still not able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And communication was a huge thing, because we even see that certain things get lost in translation. We didn't talk too much about Don with his story, trying to call Philip and how he has a dry sense of humor, but that got picked up.
Yeah.
As a
legitimate story.
As well.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. But it was, and then Mackenzie was able to go back and focus on Will, which was, he needed that.
Sorkin's idea. See, it might be a good idea to have a couple of sources. It's just there's a reason why there are certain rules.
No, definitely. you need a few sources before you can say anything.
Some corroboration might be a good idea.
So we didn't really talk. So to get back to Genoa at the very, very end, because we're definitely going to talk about this. When Charlie went up to Mac, with the Hilo manifest.
Yeah,
I want to make sure we try to cover everything.
Sure,
and that was one thing that we missed.
Yeah,
but I think we got a lot of other stuff.
Yeah. The manifest. MX-76 was on it.
Yeah, MX-76, and there's no such thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I like all of a sudden now Charlie's on board with it. And said it happened, and I'm going to prove it.
Yes. Yeah, he believes it completely now.
Yeah.
And I'm going, wait a minute, you believe it completely? I mean, this guy gave him the manifest. I was just like, wait a minute, why would this guy give you the manifest? You're not even questioning why he gave you that?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's like 99%, because he still says, like, we've got to prove that this happened.
Mm-hmm.
So he still needs to do the proving.
Yeah, I know, but I was just wondering, okay, so Shep's in there, he's trying to tell you, but if your son was there, wouldn't you want us to use every means necessary to get him out? Da, da, da,
yeah.
Da. So, and it was kind of like I was thinking Shep's trying to get him off the story. Just get out of here.
I thought
don't
that
talk
too.
About it.
And then
gives him the Hilo manifest.
Right.
I'm going, wait a minute.
Contradictory.
Yeah, so I'm going, don't you want to figure, I mean, Charlie, why is he giving you that?
Yeah. I think he's just so caught in the, because they've been, you know, digging and digging and digging with Jared Dantana and
finally there's like something that surfaces. So he probably was just kind of taken with it. Like,
and
oh my
God.
It's
the first thing they have on paper. I get it. Yeah, with the word Genoa on it and stuff. But
yeah, but from the outside, you know, perspective, yeah, it is kind of iffy. Because why in 1 second would you be trying to get Charlie off the story? And then all of a sudden, you're not really giving him the data of the computer center that's being set up in Utah.
Exactly. He lies about what it is and it's all crumpled up. And
I was going to say, too, the note, the manifest didn't look that great. I mean, it was crumpled up. I thought it was, I mean, it could have just been a couple of doodles for all we know.
Right.
He just wrote it there while he was sitting there. Yeah, I'll just put MX, you know, so D6 on it.
And then when he commented, like, sorry, it's so crumpled, like, okay.
Whose benefit was that for? Did he think somebody was listening? Because only Charlie in the room was. Did he think he was recording it?
Yeah.
Never know. Reese was in there earlier, so.
Yeah, exactly. Could be.
To question that.
So
I think. Yeah. Is there anything else you guys wanted to?
Why would they want to set up news night?
I don't know if they want to. I don't know that they want to set up news night specifically, but they might be. But I think they want to make sure that they either bury the story or discredit the story because for two reasons. One, if it's really false, then great, here, look. Or if it was true and they're trying to discredit whoever's going to say it, then the story dies away and the story becomes who put out a false story. Because then the story goes away.
Which way do we think it's going to go? I actually think it's the second one, thinking of it now. Like...
They want to discredit.
So you think we actually did the same? In this world, not in the real world, but in the news room world, they did it. You think so?
I'm starting to think that.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But they're trying to create a distraction.
I don't think they can do that because how do you come back from that in the newsroom world? Meaning, if America really did that, how do you come back from that? How do you go on telling stories?
Well, I actually think in the newsroom world they did it.
Uh huh.
But there's going to be enough evidence that could make people question it, that like an Operation Tailwind, it's based off of. There was enough evidence to obviously make them run the story, and it probably happened, you know, maybe, we don't know. Mm-hmm. And according to the people who ran the story, they thought that it happened. Mm-hmm. But then the Pentagon gets involved, and they disproved enough of the stuff to make it a problem.
They had a lot of misinformation.
I mean, you don't want to go up against the government if you can help it, unless you're Jason Bourne or something.
And even then, it's a tricky situation.
Yeah, it takes three movies to figure that out.
And there will be a fourth. Not a fifth.
There was a fourth with Jeremy Renner, but
let's not rule out a fifth.
That's true.
Yeah, there may be a fifth.
Okay, interesting.
Anyway,
but let's get to some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, not that much news going on that we haven't talked about before. Ratings were actually lower.
Ouch.
Last week.
Damn.
13%.
That's surprising to me.
13%? Wow.
That's surprising to
me. So, the week before it was at 1.80 million, and last week it was 1.62.
Hmm. Wow.
I would have thought after the drama of last week that it might, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would think it would pick up. And I also have to wonder how much... You know, do they count, again, HBO Go?
Yeah,
I don't know. That's how I watch most of my stuff.
Sure they've got to figure out a way to quantify that. I'm guessing they would because that's most of the viewership now.
And then I wanted to talk about briefly what we've talked about. We even talked about with Margaret Judson last week was how Aaron Sorkin spoke out about the newsroom doesn't report the news.
No.
And he said that. And I know
why anybody would think it would is ridiculous.
They're just looking for a fight.
He says, we don't report the news on the newsroom. The news serves as a backdrop against which we're telling our own stories. It's historical fiction.
Does anybody really think? I mean, who's thinking that it's reporting the news?
There's a lot of people that have problems with certain things that they, you know, write about. And he's, as you said, he's romanticizing it.
Yes, he writes, does not write. It's not a...
Sensationalizing it.
Yeah, and he doesn't write anti-hero stuff. This is what he writes.
And kind of a fun one, fun short article that I read has to do with Leona, Jane Fonda. Mm-hmm. And it was titled, Jane Fonda workout videos were huge, but she thought they would be a huge flop. And I feel like most of us kind of know Jane Fonda from the music. I mean, she's in a lot of other great movies, of course, but She's also very much known for these workout videos.
Yeah.
She said that at the time she made it, videotapes weren't that big.
Yeah.
And she
that
just
thing
figured.
Went nuts.
Oh, wild. I think like everyone.
Like you
woman
said,
had
she had a whole career before that, but a whole segment of her society doesn't know her but because of that video.
And
those videos.
It said in the article it went on to sell 17 million copies.
Jeez.
Oh my gosh.
Which again, back when she did it, is huge.
Yeah.
1982.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, wow. Just kind of a fun
I'm
going
to get my hands on a copy of that and just see how it is.
Try it out and let us know.
Yeah.
Get back to us.
Let's do it together. It'll be a team bond here.
Exactly. So, next week we saw a few things, but let's get to our predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I want to see Mac go back. With Will to where his father is going to be.
You think they're
going to
go?
Laid to rest. I want to see it.
Wow.
So I'm going to predict it.
That might be good.
The secret. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. See the funeral and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be good.
I don't know if they would go there. It seemed like, again, from the previews, it's going to be all about Genoa.
Yeah.
The
probably.
Next episode.
Well, that's
true. But it would be good. I think it would be great character stuff to have him go back. That would be wonderful.
I think
wonderful.
So, too.
I think the whole Genoa thing, I'm going to say that it's going to be exactly like Tailwind in the sense that it's going to look like it really did happen, but there's going to be just enough disinformation that people are going to fall on both sides of it, and no one's ever going to be able to prove it.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be one fact that's going to hit Mackenzie in particular, that's why they're going to run it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is, but it'll have to be something big that way.
And I do think Dawn and Sloan will eventually get together.
Yes.
I think it's getting closer.
I know they'll go out probably before the end of the season, but it looked like they were going to kiss tonight.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
And then, of course, I yelled out, no, don't you.
Right.
And as John pointed out, with every rebound comes consummating it.
So they will.
There we go.
And he's going to get some pictures of her. Never mind.
or she'll get pictures of him.
There you go. That's even better.
They'll swap pictures.
That's right.
They'll make their own video. Anyways, thanks for tuning in, you guys. I am Kristen Carroll, and you can follow me on Twitter at KristenCarroll13.
You can follow me on Twitter at Sarah with an H Mendoza.
I'm John Comerford, and you can follow me at the store if you ever see me. Other than that, you can only find me on SerialBuddies.com.
Check it out.
Yeah, you definitely should go on iTunes and download the movie there as well.
Thank you much.
All right, thank you guys.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.